another time. In here, and the umbrella of God's holy fire, a special Holy Ghost house meeting. My thanks to the Buckley family for opening the doors. Precious people that I'm glad to know as dear friends, fellow disciples in this walk with God. Come on, move around the room. Take a moment. You know the custom. Speak a word. Blessing over somebody tonight. Some you never know what is inside of you until you begin to let it out. I wore my wife out with prophecy before I ever prophesied to one person I didn't know. Amen. That's the way it works. If you want it, you're going to have to do it. You husbands and wives, why does the Bible say that you ought to pray together? Some people think a gift is just going to show up one day. But you got to unwrap it. I know you're going to get it. You got to unwrap it. That's right. But how do you unwrap it? You apply yourself. You believe upon it. God told you got a ministry. You stir it up. Also, plainly in the Timothy, regarding that gift, he said, you stir up that most holy gift that is already in you by laying on your hands. How many's read that? Your mama and grandma laid hands on you, boy, they put something inside of you, but you got to stir it up. Amen. You got to find out you don't need no man to teach you before it's over. Does not the Bible declare that? And I wonder about all these people that got these camps to try to teach you how to be what God has already ordained you to be. Just have to wonder about it. How come it's always a dollar figure on the other end of that thing? Amen. And we're supposed to, as we freely receive, we got something to give, we have to freely give it. The Bible says, doesn't it? Come on. I'm just going to make it plain. Others won't say it, I'll say it. Amen. I wonder what school of prophecy, amen, Elijah found himself at. Amen. We have only a few things about ever being such a thing as a school of prophets. And they're not much good to say about the school of prophets. The one that stands out that most people probably read somewhere, I think, in the first or second book of Kings, is there came a time when the sons of the prophets who were given over to that thing called the school of prophecy had to seek out a prophet named Elijah. Was it Elijah or Elijah? Which one was it? Because they lost something. How many remember that? How many remember they came to the Mount of God and they said to them, Father, we pray the axe head that we had, how many read that? The axe head that we were using for our work, we've lost it. Amen. And it took somebody that was outside the camp with that. Come on. Now, they were the sons of the prophets that were, you know, their fathers were prophets before. Amen. But how many know that we're moving beyond something called prophecy, as well as putting titles on ourselves about what we are? Amen. I'd rather just let God determine what I am. And as long as I don't brand myself with being a prophet or an evangelist or a teacher or a pastor, I'll find that there's a spirit that will move through me to teach when it needs to, preach when it needs to. Come on. Evangelize in the moment it needs to. And there's a prophetic thing there as well as an apostolic thing. Come on, because this is the fivefold ministry. Amen. That is with all of God's sons. Come on. I said God's sons today. That I'm talking to. Amen. Why be a lesser thing today? Why go to a school to become a lesser thing? Amen. The schools are good. Amen. They can teach you a little bit about things. But let me tell you, there's got to be an ordination with you. Or all your schoolwork, come on. All your curriculum, if it's not a Holy Ghost curriculum along with it, as well as an ordination that God has set upon you, then just know you're going to come to a grand education. Come on. But you're never going to touch upon the heavenlies of God's kingdom. Can I say that today? Amen. Two young men right from this household, right now, on the doorstep of an educational thing, and I believe it's a good thing, but I believe that there's a Spirit of God that's going to get with them. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Education's a good thing, but sometimes it's a good thing only, come on, to where God can take you and pick you up and turn you upside down like He did a man named Paul, who was the most educated individual we got in that book. Yeah. Amen. And what did Paul say about it? He said, listen, when I came to you this time, I didn't come to you with education. I didn't come to you with cunning words. I didn't come to you with cunningly designed fables. He said, but when I showed up with the power of God. How many believe that God can put that kind of power with this generation today? And
I'm going to tell you, there's something that we've not yet seen in this generation. And God has always not been real quick to reveal a lot of things, because He's always looked for people that would hunger and thirst after the movement of God's hand. I mean, come on, how many say, I hunger and I thirst. Amen. I want to be like David and be able to declare of the things of God as a deer panteth after the water brooks, so does my heart pant after God. I'm not looking for a gift, come on, to put on display or come on, to twist somebody's head up in the demonstration of that thing. I said, my heart seeketh after my God.
Yeah.
Come on. Yeah. And if you'll find out, if you give your heart over to God, listen, you'll get whatever you need. He'll get your pocketbook along with it.
Yeah.
He'll get your fasting. He'll get your consecration. Come on. That's where all that thing starts at, is when you fall in love with your God.
Yeah.
Come on, and begin to cultivate that relationship as a father to the son and a son to the father.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
One moment in the presence of God is worth more than all the books.
Amen.
Come on.
Right.
It's amazing to me. There's a lot of ministries today that came out during the charismatic movement of the 70s and the 80s that are, you know, every time I turn around, they're writing another book or reading another book. I mean, what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And it's some good ministries. One of them is a good brother I know from my home state of Texas, Brother Mike Murdoch, who I believe he's a great preacher. God, how many know who I'm talking about, Brother Murdoch? And Brother Murdoch was the first man that I ever saw that looked to me like somebody that carried something in God, but was real. Talked like a real person. He wasn't a different thing out of the pulpit. And then when he stepped into the pulpit, became another thing. And as a young man, just beginning to walk with God, that was something that moved me. And to this day, I still give honor to that man's ministry. Great ministry. And one of the things that Brother Murdoch, his ministry is wrapped around, is the wisdom of God. But there's something greater. Let me declare today that there's one greater than Solomon in this hour. Come on. Amen. And all those people that write those books about wisdom, they need to go and read where Solomon said, in the reading of many books, it just drives you, come on, it drives you insane. What was the words he used? It's madness. Isn't that what he said? I mean, I've seen people that they're almost on the brink of madness. Because they're reading everything, listening to everybody's report, listening to every radio program on the Christian radio. Come on. Some programs you just need to be turned off, baby. Amen. They're watching everything they can on Sky Angel or TVN or something. And that's good, but let me tell you something. When you come to a place of maturity, you'll find a place to where you need no man to teach you. That's good that you sit in that place. And whether you apply yourself to the doorstep of an educational facility that they call a theological seminary, as some do, come on, you're going to find that there's going to be a time that you're going to move away from the teaching of men. Because if men teach you by the Spirit, come on, they're going to work their self out of a teaching assignment. And they're going to cause you to become a disciple that rises up. Come on. And it's no longer a greater thing teaching a lesser thing. But now you become arm in arm, joined together as peers with that. Come on. Come on. Because God's not interested in raising up students, baby. He's always been interested. Was it not declared by Christ when He said, go forth into all the world and what? Make people members of an organization? Somebody help me out tonight. He said, make disciples of all men. Amen. Because the disciple cannot be greater than his master, but he may even as his master.
That's right.
And come on, if the master had power to lay hands on the sick and they recovered, did not the disciples also walk in like manner?
Yeah.
As the master had the ability, come on, to wipe away blindness from a man's eyes, and the man watched away sleeping, his morning season upon his arising with the sun coming up, let me tell you, did not the same demonstration follow after those to whom he chose? Come on.
Amen.
Whatever it is that God chose today.
Amen.
Come on. That may not have, you know, the facilities of an educational way about them. They may not have the opportunity to sit under the grand minds of this Christian hour.
Yeah.
Come on. But their seminary is going to be in the darkness of their own closet in the midnight season.
Yeah.
Visited by a spirit of their God. Come on, that's going to make itself known, because you may have been chosen. I may be talking to you tonight. Heard someone say, it just may be you he's talking about. Have been chosen for God's visitation. You might feel that tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Those dear people that this is your first time here, welcome to Holy Fire. We're a little bit different than a lot of ministries. We are a ministry that is led by the Spirit. We don't have any text. We don't prepare anything. We just find there's a movement. When God's Spirit shows up, there's always a word in that Spirit. And I've been into so many meetings to where people move by the Spirit and they dance. Come on. They move by the Spirit and they speak in tongues. And they move by the Spirit and they roll in the floor, some of them. Like somebody having an epileptic seizure. Come on, you know what I'm talking about. And there's a real spirit there, but the spirit's not there. Come on, to roll them in the floor or cause them to dance. The spirit, when God's spirit shows up, he's got something that he's going to say. Amen. And I make it say that God's spoken some things that sometimes there have been some hard words that God's spoken in these meetings. And some of them that we didn't like. I remember a word that came during a meeting back at the end of this last year. Amen. And the spirit bore witness with it with Sister Buckley. And that spirit was that as God's people, we need to press in at the end of this year until fast. Amen. And she heard that spirit, rose up and obeyed it, and went 15, 21 days somewhere there. She finally had to turn back because she had an illness that fell upon her. Because the devil's always going to try to sidetrack you and your faithfulness. Amen. Come on. But that word wasn't meant for everybody. God speaks individually. And when you've got an ear to hear what God says, come on. It may apply to you, but not to the individual that's sitting next to you. It may apply to the husband, but not the wife. It may apply to the parents, but not the children. Come on. You can't just blanket coverage God's word today. You've got to find that word that God has called you to walk in. If you've been called with an anointing, your anointing is going to be specific to what God has made you to be. If you have been called with a gifting, your gifting may not work and may not be demonstrated as other men and women demonstrate that gift. So how is it, come on, no matter who's got an anointing, they can only take you so far. No matter how great their ability to teach you, amen, there's some things, come on, the teacher is going to lead you to a place to where you no longer have need of that teacher. And a good teacher is going to look for the day that he can turn you loose and let you go with a blessing that you may even become something greater than what that thing's all about. Come on. Because the next generation should always be greater than the last generation. Amen. Oh, yes, it should. That's why Jesus said to the disciples, he said, greater things than what you've seen me do. Come on. You're going to demonstrate those things. Come on. Oh, yes, it is. That's why I don't care who says it. Too long, we've had anointed men and women as well that have kept God's people pressed down, never let them come up to the level that they're at. Amen. Yes, they have. And always keep somebody dependent upon looking to the great marvel that they are in God's kingdom. Amen. But it was not so in days of old. Christ caused his disciples to receive something that was greater, and he declared greater works than this you're going to do. And did they not do greater works?
Yes.
Come on. They went out and shook up the whole world. His ministry was around about Samaria and around about Thyatira and around about Capernaum. And that region knew the impact of his 33 and a half years of living and 3.5 years, short years of ministry. But it was after he ascended to the right hand of all power, where he said to make an intercession today. Well, why did he ascend? Men have said that he ascended to pay the price for Calvary, but it's greater than that. He ascended, and the Bible declares in the book of Hebrews that now, after ascension, he had received even a greater ministry than what he himself had in the day of his flesh. And because, come on, yes, he has, and it's the ministry of Melchizedek, the Bible says, and we don't know much about that, but because he is in that ministry of Melchizedek, he also has made a way for you to enter into that same thing today. Come on. As it was with Elijah. Elijah passed on something to Elisha who followed him. And where Elijah had done 7 miracles. Come on. Elisha was able to perform 14. But there was something greater with that mantle. Come on. And the greater than what was passed on than to do a double fold. Come on. A double fold work of God. And it's time that Pentecost started shouting about a double fold anointing. My God, I don't want to stop short of God's glory. There was something within what was passed on to him that had the ability to take him into the same high heights of glory that the first one had passed into. Come on. Where he was no longer found in the earth, but he was carried away by the whirlwind of God's Spirit. Come on. Into another realm somewhere. How many believe that God's got something greater today than just another anointing?
Yeah,
oh, yes, he does. Yeah. We're talking about it all times like the sonship. Amen. And it's amazing because there was something that was resonant even upon the physical mantle that the prophets wore in their day of old because they had not an indwelling of God's Spirit as you have been honored with, but they received something that it resided upon them physically.
Yeah.
Come on. Oh, yes, it did.
Yeah.
Like a magic ring for one of these superheroes or something. Come on. Have you ever seen the Green Lantern? He puts that ring on. My God, he's got power. He takes it off. Know what I'm talking about here. And it was the same way with the prophets of old. The prophets received a mantle, and upon that mantle, there was something that was upon it, not through a personal relationship, but because they had been chosen to walk in an office, and they received that mantle. And within that mantle, there was the ability to work great miracles before the people. Come on. Within that mantle, there was the ability to demonstrate the very power of God by God's dictates. Amen. And in the mantle that was received by Elijah, from Elijah, there was something so great within it that even after they buried the man, they put another man down on top of the grave. Come on. And that man came alive, but the prophet that had the mantle stayed dead.
Yeah.
Come on. You ever think about it? Come on.
Yes.
Why? Because there's something that God is going to inactivate in the lives of His people today that's going to come not just by, come on, power alone, but there's going to be a revelation that has to be given for you to know how to walk in that thing.
Right.
Come on. And what did he receive? When he received it, my God, let me tell you something. As soon as he picked up that thing, he said, "Where be the Lord God of, come on, of Elijah?"
That's right.
And he had already decided what he wanted in the day that Elijah was still living when he declared unto him, "Father, let me do a double fold work, I pray thee." Come on, be careful what you ask for. You just might get it.
That's right.
Come on, wouldn't you rather have the ability to rise up and ascend into a place to where 2,000 years later, that prophet was still found walking on the face of earth and appeared on the mountaintop to Jesus? Come on.
Mm-hmm.
And was there in that generation. Come on. Because when he ascended into something, his ministry did not end. But he was a forerunner that ascended into a ministry that had no end. And that's why he was still found 2,000 years later walking, manifest in the flesh, as well as his spirit was there in that generation, upon another man, come on, named John the Baptist. How many know what I'm talking about today? And how many believe that God has got something today that he's going to place upon you? Come on, that's not going to be limited. The only limitation is right here. Come on, if you settle for the fact that you're a prophet, then that's all you're ever going to be. Come on, if you decide to begin to tell everybody, "I'm an evangelist," or come on, or "I'm an apostle," come on, then you're going to become just what that thing is. But my God, when you recognize that you are the sons of God, and that there's a Spirit of Christ that is within you, because He has ordained you and set His mark upon you as a temple of God, then I wonder what it is we're going to see demonstrated in your hand today. Come on, you better praise Him today. You can be quiet with this kind of message. But you've got to begin to rise up and make those steps.
Yes.
Come on. You've got to desire after God in such a way that you're willing to put off all the constraints of this old world.
Yes.
You're willing to push aside the plate.
Amen.
Come on.
That's right.
The church today, there's keys today that God always gave His people that we don't see them today. And where is the power of God? It's locked up somewhere, and you've got to have a key to get it open. Come on, what is the key to the movement of God's Spirit? Well, let me tell you, anybody who will give their bodies a living sacrifice, you know, which the Bible declares is not any special thing anyway, it says it's your reasonable service. And some people are just not reasonable. And the Bible declares, come let us reason together. And in that reasoning together, you might have to take on something upon you that you don't desire it, nor is there anything in it that's pleasing to the flesh.
Amen.
But God is going to bring you to a juncture where you decide, how bad do you want what God has ordained for you to have?
Amen.
Every man and woman that ever walked with God had to come to a place to where they had to leave behind old things. Some of them had to pick up and leave behind and wave bye-bye. Amen. And pack up their camels and their mules, as we have demonstrated by Father Abraham. Come on. And leave everything behind. Come on. To make journey with His God. And I believe today that God's looking for people that's not going to be content sitting on the backside of a pew somewhere in the backside of a church. They're tired of singing the same songs, dancing the same dances, hearing the same messages, and reading the same book. My God, there's a hunger that God's going to give somebody in this room and in this generation as well that's going to rise up, and they're going to make full proof of the anointing that God has chosen to put upon their life. Come on, praise Him. Amen. Praise Him. And I'm believing that 2008 is going to be a year.
Yeah.
Come on.
Hallelujah.
Nothing for God to save the world. All these people talking about,
praise God,
you know, the world is going to be overrun. Well, I've yet to see it. Yeah. Amen. Where was in the day that the Spirit was first poured out in the Bible? Was it poured out upon the whole world?
No.
What happened? Well, we got to get it right. We either got to go by what the book says, or we got to go by what some theologian tells us. My God, I look for the day that China and Asia and Iraq and, you know, every other nation, the time will come, the Bible says, every kingdom will become the kingdom of our God. But we're not in that hour quite yet. Amen. And the Bible declared that in the day that there were 120 gathered into the upper room and the Spirit of God, come on, come on, showed up in the midst of them because they went there and they did something called tarrying, which meant they went there and waited. They didn't know how long they're going to be there. Amen. Don't you know they had lives in that day? Don't you know that they had business they had to take care of?
That's right.
Don't you know they had family that was looking for them? And the Bible said that 500 went up, and you know, by the end of the thing, there was only 120 left. I want to be one of the ones that's left at the end of the thing.
Yeah.
Because some people are going to dismiss themselves from God's program just about 30 minutes before the whole thing comes to fruition. I said some people are going to walk out just before God shows up.
Yeah.
And all they're going to hear is the tale of what happened whenever they after they left.
Right.
Come on, do you want to be that individual, or do you want to be that one that receives a Spirit of God? Come on. That is with you. And the Bible says that when the Spirit showed up, it said the Spirit set upon them in such a way that it said, as great tongues of fire. Come on. That they spoke in other languages.
Yeah.
And there was a demonstration of God there in the midst of it. And Peter rose up and he said unto those men that were gathered there that were gazing at this sight, he said, what is it that you're looking at? Don't you know this is what was prophesied by the prophet Joel? This is even the Spirit of God being poured out upon all flesh. But it was only right there in one room, in one little town, in one small region of one nation. And everybody outside that room had no clue about what was going on. So tell me today where God's Spirit's going to be poured out. My God, God chose to tonight. He could demonstrate something right now to where maybe we could declare this is that same thing. That I said, this is that thing let me tell you, if it came in that day, then what are we waiting for in this hour? Why are we still reading prophecy books about that happening?
Amen.
Come on. Instead of recognizing that the Spirit of God has already been poured out.
Yes.
Come on. And that you've got to begin to believe upon God's Word as well as His messengers. And His prophets as well, the Bible says. And come on. And you'll do well. You'll be blessed because if you believe upon that Word and walk toward it, you're going to find a demonstration of God's Spirit that's going to be marked upon your life, that's going to be unlike what others that only have a report. Come on.
Amen.
Amen. There's a lot of people, they got the report in their mouth.
Yeah.
Their whole experience with God is based on some outward thing. To where they, there's some outward movement, there's a tongue, and there's nothing against that. But my God, there ought to be something. When the tongue settles down, there ought to be a mind there. Come on, to where we know what is in the mind of God, and we know the instruction of the Spirit. Don't you think so? When the dance is over, there ought to be something there that is with us, that is resident, that is valid with us, that whether we're dancing or not, come on, that Spirit is still there. Come on, whether or not we're rolling on the floor or not, that Spirit is still resident upon us. Whether or not there's some outward sign for the world to behold, there's something that is within us, come on, within us and with us today, that when it needs to demonstrate itself, it knows exactly where you are and it knows exactly what to do when it needs to show up.
Yes.
Have you believed that today?
Yes.
And the people today that are giving over to things, amen, that are looking for things that they're never going to find them. You can fast till the cows come home, and you can study this Bible, and you can do everything that a religious man will do, and never come to one thing, because the only thing that matters is if God has chosen and ordained you to enter into that place that you're trying to get into. Come on.
Yes.
Is that right? Jesus even declared unto that generation, He said, you search the Scriptures, and they directly point to me. Come on. And then you don't even know who I am?
Yeah.
They search the Scriptures night and day. Older men, they took their firstborn son and empowered them to take over their business. And then what they did is they gave themselves over to the study of the Torah or the law or the Pentateuch, the laws of Moses. And they burnt the midnight oil and they became well read in that thing. But it's well read. These were the ones that the Bible called the lawyers. Amen. How many heard about the lawyers? It wasn't, come on.
Yeah.
Who's these lawyers that they, it wasn't one of these TV lawyers. It wasn't one of these, one of these guys that was saying, did they wrong you at work? Give me a call. The lawyers were those that, that studied the law.
Yeah.
They knew it inside and out, and that's why the Bible says that they sought to catch Him in His Word.
Uh-huh.
That's why every time He said something that did not agree with what they had learned through their educational, their educational way, they withstood Him as they're going to withstand you today. Come on, but let me declare that every scribe of the kingdom and every scribe that cometh by the will of God, that they reach into the bag, the Bible declares, and they produce that which is old or that is already known to the people. But then they also reach into the bag and they produce something that is unknown or something Come on, that the Bible says that's new, and I'm tired of eating the same old manna. And come on, you better help me. I'm tired of drinking the same old wine from the same old wineskins. My God, I believe that God has something that we've never heard before. And I believe there's a revelation that God is going to pour out in this year, 2008, that maybe we didn't know a thing about it in 2007. But He's not going to just come to give us revelation or information alone, because there's going to be a demonstration that if we follow the foreknowledge that God brings through His Spirit, and we follow out that thing, it will no longer be just information that we've received, but as we begin to apply that and begin to believe upon it and walk toward it, let me tell you, God's going to give you a key to open the door up to where the demonstration of the Holy Ghost, and you better help me out there, that's your plan. The demonstration of the Holy Ghost is going to be there. And the power of God is going to be seen.
Yes.
How many believe that God's got the ability to open blind eyes?
Yes. Amen.
Why don't we see it today? I declare that we're the ones that's missing out on something.
Amen.
We ever sing these songs that we're waiting on the Holy Spirit? I think God's probably in heaven singing a song, "I'm waiting on you."
Amen.
Come on. Come, you know, come, Holy Spirit, come. God said, "I'm already here." Come on. Look, you know, we're going to have to take on some responsibility today. As sons of God, we have to begin to recognize that there's some things that we need to put our hand to today.
Amen.
And in doing that, it's going to loose some things. Come on, that God's already ready to loose.
Amen.
God doesn't live on a time clock, as a lot of people think. You know, Israel may have a timeline of prophecy, but God does whatever He wants, whenever He wants to do it. And God's not moved by the passage of time as much as He is moved by seeing the commitment of heart that His people will make. And when a people get a real hunger to serve God, come on, like Sister Buckley, that will push back the plate and bring yourself even to a physical, come on, to a physical deficit because they so desire after God. Let me tell you, you're not going to be long in that work before something can begin to show up that's not in those that, come on, that choose their own way and make their own decisions. I said there's a people that can give themselves over to the mind of God. Come on.
Amen. Amen.
What is the mind of God today? My God, sometimes the mind of God is that you pray all night long.
That's right.
Amen. Anybody ever been there?
Yes.
To where you pray, to where you fall asleep and wake up and pray some more. Come on. And you stay in that place. God knows what you're capable of doing. All He's looking for is the faithfulness.
Yeah.
He's not looking for somebody to turn flips or stand on their head. He just wants, and the greatest prayer you can pray to God, come on, is, "Lord, I don't know how to do this. You're going to have to help me." And another one that even the Bible talked about, "Lord, I believe, but you got to help my unbelief." That's a prayer I pray quite often. Because God knows that you're just flesh, baby. The Bible says that. He knows that that outer man, come on, that you live to 90% of the time in this physical world, He knows that it's nothing but like the grass, that the time's going to come, it's going to wither away, the Bible says. Come on. But there's a spirit that is within you that God wants you to begin to live to that spirit. Come on.
Yeah.
Average person, average Christian in this country watches, I think it's 22.7 hours of TV a week. Amen. The only difference with Christian people is they watch Christian programming. Most of it. Come on. But let me tell you, what's the difference if you give yourself over to that TV, and there's nothing wrong with it, but there's a time somewhere in our week that we can give God. And you'd be surprised just how little God needs. Come on, to begin to move. Because once you begin to give God just a little bit, amen, He's going to take that little bit and He's going to fill that little bit up to where, come on, I'm trying to help you out. Come on. How did men not get this and get to where they got to? See, I figured out a long time ago. I got close enough to the wheels to figure out how this thing works. And when you begin to hang around with people that really got something in God, the only way, come on, that they get to it, they can't just lay hands on you and give it to you. When they lay hands on you, they're putting something there. But like I said at the beginning of the service, you've got to stir that thing up. You've got to begin to walk toward it. Come on. As the one walks, the other has to walk. If you, come on, be careful if you're following somebody who's giving a fasting, because the spirit that comes is going to drive you. Come on. Brother Barry, you're going to attest to it. That spirit is going to drive you. You may begin to